Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just can't resist beginning in this way because we are halfway through the month of January as we gather here today. So I just have to ask you, how are your New Year's resolutions going? Were they of a dietary nature? Did you decide on dry January? How's it going? Maybe you decided that once a month at least you would go to the grocery store and have a completely plastic-free shop. How's that going? Maybe you decided you would try to regularly say morning prayer every day. Did you do that? How's that going? Do you even remember what your New Year's resolutions were? It turns out that by long custom, the beginning of a new year, you know, is a time that we take on this idea of amending our lives in some way, making a change in our lives. I suppose the end of the year is a time of looking backwards and realizing how little actually changed, huh? But even so, we are undaunted. We try it again and again every year. We try to make real change in the patterns that shape our lives, and once in a while, we actually do. Sometimes by an act of will, more often by an act of desperation. Well, this morning, we are presented with six people who are about to make good on their New Year's resolution. They may not be thinking of it in quite that way, but here is where this is the moment we have to be honest with the six of them about what they are signing up for. Celine and Charlotta and Laura and Lena and Seyun and Sophia, all of you are about to stand up in front of all these people and make some very public commitments. We make you do this in public to help you remember that you did it and to give you all of these people who will remind you that you did when you would rather forget. You are making a public commitment to the Christian faith and to the life of this community. Promises that once were made on your behalf by other people for you, you are now going to make on your own. You are making a commitment to live out your faith as a part of the church. This church, the Episcopal Church, and the Church of the Ascension. You are becoming full-fledged disciples in your own right. But with that, there is this kind of New Year's resolution. You might even call it a new life resolution. Because when you choose to become a disciple, something about your life is supposed to change. Yeah? And one of the reasons for that is there are new rules that you are signing up for. So it's time to tell you what they are. What are these new rules for new disciples? Well, you all have that order of service in your hands, so go back and look at the gospel that Father Dan just read. Because in that lesson, that little story from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we're going to get three rules that disciples live by. They might be new to you, and they might be a little unsettling, but they apply to you. The Gospel of John is different, we know, from all the other three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. It tells the same story, yeah, but it has a different audience in view and a different purpose. And so it tells that story in a different way with different emphases. And not surprisingly, some of the elements of that story are unique. Here, in the very first chapter of John, we meet the first disciples. It's different because we're told that they're disciples of John the Baptist. Okay, so John had disciples. They had already signed up for a prophet team. They're on Team John the Baptist. This morning, we heard two connected stories of John the Baptist and Jesus. But uniquely, here in John, we never see Jesus being baptized by John. Instead, we get a different sense of the relationship between Jesus and John. Somehow John knows he is called to be the precursor, the forerunner, the person with the message about someone who is coming. But at the same time, it seems clear that John isn't really sure just who that is. That's really different from the story we get, you know, in the Gospel of Luke, where we think they're related because we're told that their mothers are relatives of each other, John the Baptist and Jesus. But here, John doesn't quite seem to know who that's going to be. We get a picture in John's gospel of Jesus and his followers baptizing people in the river while John and his disciples are doing the same, just downriver. And somehow there comes a point at which John, who all this time has been saying he's not the one, right? He's been the focus of buzz. He is this person people think might be the Messiah. He's the one with the following. And suddenly John realizes it's not me. It's someone else. That's the background to the story we heard this morning. John has realized that it's not him, but it's Jesus that he's preparing things for. And at the moment he and Jesus are in the same part of town, he turns to two of his own disciples and he says, "Do you know what? Do you see that guy? That's him. That's the guy." In that moment, something happens that gives us the first rule of being a disciple. John the Baptist, the prophet everybody thought was that person, this major social influencer of his day, in that moment, he becomes a disciple of Jesus. We don't really think of him that way. We don't think of John sort of hanging up his camel hair and leather belt, forgetting the diet of wild locusts and honey, and following along with the Jesus group. He doesn't do that. We know John keeps on being John. He keeps on being John so much he winds up in jail for it. But he knows that Jesus is the one and he is not. God is God and John is not. That's the first rule of being a disciple. We know that God is the creator of the universe and we must remember that's not who we are. We are surrounded in this world by a lot of people, Mr. Musk, Mr. Bezos, even we might say Mr. Putin, who are, what do we usually call them? Self-made men. My first boss in this job used to say, they are self-made men who worship their creator. We are surrounded with people like that, but that is not us. We are meant to worship. Yes, you could even say we are designed to worship. Human beings make meaning out of what it is they worship. On the Avenue Jarsanque in Paris, you can either worship God or Louis Vuitton. And I'll just let you guess which door there's a line in front of every morning. God is God, and we are not. That's the first rule of being a disciple. Now think about what happens next when John says this to his friends. That's the one. That's him. If you want to deepen your relationship with God, you need to spend more time with him. And what happens? They leave him. They walk away. They leave him and they go and follow Jesus. They don't ask questions. They don't analyze the risk-benefit ratio. They don't calculate the differential rates of return. They just go. And perhaps even more important, when they catch up with him and he asks them that single profound question, what are you looking for? They don't say, well, we're looking for a better prophet. We're looking to move up in the disciple world. We're looking for an influencer who has better market share among millennials. They don't say any of that. What they say is, where are you staying? How can we be closer to you? How can we live where you are, be where you are, see what you are doing? They don't go with him because they want to check out his lodgings. They go with him because they want to learn about his life. Disciples go where Jesus is. That is the second rule. And the whole point of the story is to teach us that sometimes that means leaving the familiar, leaving the comfortable, leaving behind decisions you have made, even leaving a teacher you love, because your flourishing, your life with God, means you need to be nearer to where God is. The last thing we are told about those disciples is what they do after they make their choice to be where Jesus is. Do you remember what it is? The very next thing we hear is that they are telling other people about what they have found. It's even more specific than that. By the end of the day, Andrew, one of those two disciples who just that morning had been on Team John the Baptist, by the end of that day, Andrew is telling his own brother, you got to come and see what we found. Rule number three is, disciples tell others what they have found, even, maybe especially, those who are closest to them. I spent yesterday morning in the company of parents who learned a very great deal indeed about Jesus from their own son. That man, their son, was a disciple. He knew whose he was. He did all that he could to live more closely with the Jesus he had come to know, and he shared what he had found with others, with his colleagues, his co-workers, or his friends of different faiths, and none at all. And so, Celine, Charlotta, Laura, Lena, Shana, and Sophia, here are the new rules for you. Here is your new rule of life. Remember whose you are. Go where Jesus lives and tell other people what you find. You are God's and not the other way around. Always remember that. Go through this life knowing that God made you, God loves you, and God is always with you. Whenever you can, whenever you can, whatever it costs, go where Jesus is. Go where you can find more of how Jesus lives, how he would live in this world, who he would be with, how he would love them. Because when you do that, you will find out more about Jesus, how Jesus wants you to live. And let me tell you, sisters and brothers, when that happens, your life will change whether you like it or not. And finally, tell others. That's the rule. When you stand up in front of us all here in a moment and say those words out loud for everybody here to hear, that is not the last time, friends, you do that. It's the first time. It's not the purpose. It's just practice for what comes next. You're supposed to tell people what you found. So tell them, even the ones closest to you, not just in your words, but in your actions, your choices, the way you treat people at work, the little thousands of choices you make every day. Now, most of the rest of the people around you here already did this once before, and their lives have already been changed by those rules, haven't they? I see it. No, really, I do. So you have them to help you. You have them when it's hard, when it's challenging. You have them to ask, how did you do this? Never forget that. Remember whose you are. Go wherever Jesus can be found and share it, friends. Share it with anybody who crosses your path. We need you. Now is the time. Amen.